You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, we do not know what they want. They do not know themselves what they really want.
I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it.
Brexit means Brexit.
To wire.
Have found their future elected officials. But at the same time that we have medical staff working in emergency wards, dealing with the serious side of this current catastrophe, we also saw people in bars, restaurants, people in the local markets, those people who did not recognize the importance of the measures that had been put in place. They continued as if life had not changed. To those people, I want to say tonight that not only are you not protecting yourselves, and we can have seen over the recent changes that no one is safe from this disease, but you're not protecting other people. Even though you may not have symptoms, you can still transmit the virus onto others. You may have no symptoms whatsoever, but you can infect your family, friends, parents, grandparents, your children, the health of those people that you care for so dearly. We're at war. This is a health war. We're not dealing against another army or another nation, but an invisible enemy. And it is an enemy that is there, and which is why I call for widespread mobilization against that enemy, because we are at war. And anything that the government decides in the coming days and months will be in that sole objective of combating that enemy. After having consulted and listened to experts from the field, and with much thought, I have decided to ramp up the measures to limit travel and limit the contact that people have to the absolute necessary, as of tomorrow, midday, and for at least 15 days thereafter. Our movement will have to be absolutely limited. What I mean by this is that any gatherings outdoors, any family or friendly gatherings, are no longer allowed. Going for a walk in the park to catch up with friends or in the street is no longer allowed. You have to limit your contact, any contact you have, outside of the home. The government, as of this evening, will give key guidelines on how to do so. And anyone who does not abide by those guidelines will be punished.
That was French President Emmanuel Macron this morning announcing a 15-day national lockdown and new measures for France and the EU, including all taxis and hotels will be put at the disposal of health services. The French army will be mobilised and the external borders of the Schengen zone will be closed for the next 30 days. French Interior Minister Christophe Castaner added some details to the new rules, saying anyone found to be flouting them will be fined €38. And he also added that people will be allowed out to walk their dogs, but not as a group. Meanwhile, in Germany, there have been 5,813 positive COVID-19 cases with 13 deaths. Chancellor Angela Merkel has warned a large number of the population could be infected.
When the virus is out there, the population has no immunity and no therapy exists, then 60 to 70% of the population will be infected, as long as the situation continues to exist. Everything happening now, from hotels to fare operators and restaurants to many other sectors, leaves its mark on the economy, which is why we need a coordinated approach here in Europe, where every member state must make its contribution.
Berlin has announced it will reintroduce border checks with France, Austria, Switzerland, Luxembourg and Denmark, but goods will continue crossing between nations. Italy bears Europe's heaviest burden from the pandemic, with 25,000 confirmed cases and almost 2,000 deaths. Despite a red zone being imposed on northern Italy earlier last month, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte announced last Monday a national lockdown was put in place. The BBC's Mark Lowen reported from Bologna last Monday.
The virus is outpacing attempts to control it. Bologna was today out of the red zone, no longer. Italy, all of it, is now under the most severe restrictions since the Second World War. Public transport will still run, but the Prime Minister has told people to stay at home, except for urgent need.
The right decision is to stay home. Our future is in our hands. We must be responsible.
New measures to limit visiting rights caused riots in prisons today. Several inmates escaped, seven died. A microcosm of the drastic pressure Italy is now under. The virus surging, an economy battered, and now nationwide quarantines. It's a combustible mix.
Spain, Europe's second worst hit area with around 7,800 cases and 292 deaths, also went into a 15-day quarantine last Saturday after Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez's announcement. His wife, Maria Hernandez, has also been confirmed with the coronavirus.
En tercer lugar, les anuncio que durante la vigencia del estado de alarma,
I would like to announce that during the period of the state of alert, people will only be able to circulate on public roads for the organization of the following activities. Firstly, the acquisition of food, pharmaceutical products and basic necessities. Secondly, visits to health centers, services and establishments. Trips to workplace to carry out your work, professional or business activities.
The BBC's Rich Preston has more on the situation in Madrid.
Public gatherings are banned and most shops and businesses are closed. Cafes and restaurants will only be able to carry out home deliveries. For the next 2 weeks, people have been told to stay at home unless they're going to work or to buy food or medicine. On the streets, cheers of support for health staff going to work and caring for the sick.
In the UK, while the number of infections is much lower compared to continental Europe, with 1,391 cases and 35 deaths, Prime Minister Boris Johnson still did not implement the same drastic actions as his European counterparts. He said in a press conference last Thursday in Downing Street, while flanked by England's chief medical officer, Professor Chris Whitty, and the government's chief scientific advisor, Sir Patrick Vallance, that anyone with a new continuous cough or high temperature is now advised to self-isolate for 7 days, but did not ban mass gatherings and close schools.
I've got to be clear, we've all got to be clear, this is the worst public health crisis for a generation. Some people compare it to seasonal flu. Alas, that is not right. Owing to the lack of immunity, this disease is more dangerous and it's going to spread further. And I must level with you, level with the British public, many more families are going to lose loved ones before their time. And the chief scientific advisor will set out the best information we have on that in a moment. But as we've said over the last few weeks, we have a clear plan that we are now working through. And we're now getting on to the next phase in that plan, because this is now not just an attempt to contain the disease as far as possible, but to delay its spread and thereby minimise the suffering.
Vallance later told the Today programme on BBC Radio 4 that London is using a quote-unquote herd immunity approach to try to delay infections.
To try and reduce the peak, broaden the peak, not to suppress it completely. Also, because most people, the vast majority of people, get a mild illness, to build up some degree of herd immunity as well, so that more people are immune to this disease and we reduce the transmission. At the same time, we protect those who are most vulnerable from it. Those are the key things we need to do.
Professor Philip Hill of Otago University told me what this herd immunity approach is.
Herd immunity is basically what we call indirect immunity. So it's an immunity that you sort of take from the population level of immunity. So you have to have enough people who have their personal immune protection from the pathogen to not have enough circulation in the community to affect the rest of the people that don't. So it's about having a certain percentage of people, and that differs for different pathogens, who are immune from exposure to either the pathogen or a vaccine to actually protect the rest of the population. So it's the Diamond Princess had 19% COVID-19 positivity. I'm pretty shocked by that. You do always wonder when you've got the British whether they've got some understanding of something that nobody else has. The best of my knowledge is that they've got this wrong. So you would almost have to deliberately release COVID-19 into the community to get the herd immunity up if you were having that approach. And we know because of the mortality rate, at least in certain age groups, that that would be absolutely disastrous. And I'm not suggesting that they were going to release it. I'm saying it's almost impossible, I believe, to actually establish herd immunity in that way with a natural introduction of a virus.
On Monday afternoon's daily briefing, Boris Johnson's reversed Downing Street's stance on the UK's approach. Channel 4's political editor Gary Gibbon has more.
The Prime Minister, only days after signalling the time was not right to copy other countries and move to a lockdown, said that was what he was now urging on all age groups, those not at most risk and those in greatest danger.
In a few days' time, by this coming weekend, it will be necessary to go further and to ensure that those with the most serious health conditions are largely shielded from contact, from social contact, for around 12 weeks.
And even if you're under 70, again, suffering mild symptoms like a persistent cough or high temperature, the advice has been ratcheted up.
If you or anyone in your household has one of those two symptoms, then you should stay at home for 14 days. That means that if possible, you should not go out even to buy food or essentials other than for exercise, and in that case, at a safe distance from others.
But for all in the country, he said, even those with no symptoms, the way you live should change drastically.
Now is the time for everyone to stop non-essential contact with others and to stop all unnecessary travel. We need people to start working from home where they possibly can. And you should avoid pubs, clubs, theatres, and other such social venues.
The advice only last week was that banning mass events would not much help control the spread of the disease. Today that changed.
It remains true, as we've said in the last few weeks, that risks of transmission of the disease at mass gatherings, such as sporting events, are relatively low. But obviously, logically, as we advise against unnecessary social contact of all kinds, it's right that we should extend that advice to mass gatherings as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.